Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Acts chapter 10. And we're going to begin in verse 34 of Acts chapter 10. And a very familiar story to you, I'm sure, about Cornelius and Peter and things like that. But we're going to learn something very interesting about the Christian life. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, please, if you are physically able. Acts chapter 10, and beginning in verse 34, I'll read these verses for you. We're going to read down through verse 48, which is, of course, the end of the chapter. But we're going to begin in verse 34 of Acts chapter 10. The Bible says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, whom did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To give him, give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues, and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." So what, pray tell, could be the characteristic that we're going to study tonight? There were a few key words I hope you paid attention to in the text tonight. One of them was being no respecter of persons. Did you notice that? Did you also notice that we have Peter, a Jew, preaching to Gentiles, and the difference between Jews and Gentiles? Did you notice that there as well? And how in the latter parts of these verses, when something miraculous happened upon salvation, we've been talking in Sunday school, what happened? The Holy Spirit of God came in. That's how he works. That's how he does things in our lives. It is upon salvation that people receive the Holy Spirit of God. And we see that happened. And of course, all these things. But did you notice how some of these Jews had come with Peter and they were astonished? They didn't think that this could happen. So what in the world could we draw from all of this, having to do with the characteristic that we need to develop in our lives as believers? Well, let me read the definition and see if you can figure out the characteristic. Equal in regard to the rights of persons, distributing equal justice, giving each his due, assigning to one or more what law or justice demands, just, impartial. So what do you suppose we as Christians need to develop in our lives? How about this thing of being equitable? Being equitable, right? So equity is something that is in regard to the rights of persons. Distributing equal justice, giving each his due, being just, being impartial. This is something that we need to develop as believers. You know why this is important? Because this characteristic helps bring balance to our lives. Being equitable helps to bring balance to our lives. As human beings, we can be so judgmental. We can be extremely judgmental. And can I tell you this? We sometimes are even so judgmental to the point where we decide who gets to hear the gospel and who does not. Or who gets to receive mercy and grace and kindness and who does not. You say, Brother Combs, Christians wouldn't do that. Right. Of course we do. Why do we do that? Because we're flesh. That's why we do this, because it's just part of who we are. So we've got to overcome that. We've got to understand that we need to be equitable to people. Did you notice in God's design, He has a whosoever will policy? You know why God does that? Because God is equitable. Because God practices this characteristic. So the first thing we're going to look at is that true equity comes from God. Did you notice there in verse 34, it says, Then Peter openeth his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Hey, what happened earlier in this chapter? Peter's sleeping. Take a little nap. Sheet comes down from heaven in a vision. All kinds of things crawling around and running around in there. Rise, Peter. Kill and eat. Yes, Lord. You know, that's what every hunter wants to hear. Amen. That's great. Hey, but listen, that happens to him. It happens to him several times. And this goes on. And what's the whole point? There's a man named Cornelius, a Gentile, who wants to be saved. And Peter is a Jew. He doesn't mix with Gentiles. He keeps himself separate from them, and such and so forth. But God says, go with them. Give them the gospel. See this take place because I am going to send you to the Gentiles. I'm going to send you to these people so they can hear of me. True equity comes from God. Psalm 98 verses 4 through 9 says, Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp. With the harp and the voice of a psalm. With trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein, let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyous together before the Lord. This all sounds like a big fanfare, right? A big call to worship and to praise. For what reason? For he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. God is a righteous judge. You say, well, gee, Brother Combs, that's really easy because he's perfect. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, all these things. And of course he's going to make the right choice every time in judgment. Yes, that's why true equity comes from God. He's our example. Hey, how did Jesus do in the equity department while he was here on this earth? Yeah, A+. 100%, perfect score, he did it right. You say, but he was mean to some people. Yes, but he was righteous in his judgment. Remember when he threw out the money changers and flipped over the tables and drove them out? He made a mistake. He was against. No, he didn't make a mistake. He was just. He was equitable. They knew they weren't supposed to be there doing those things. They were told by God that that's not what it was for. And they did it anyways. He was just. God is equitable. He is just. He is holy. He is righteous. And true equity comes from God above. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Very familiar proverb. We've even referenced it a few times in messages in the past. Proverbs chapter 1. Why do you suppose that Solomon began with this statement in verses 1 through 7? Because he was the wisest man. Because God had given him wisdom. And we're going to talk about him in just a few moments. About where this particular characteristic comes from. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of. Okay, are you all here understanding grammar? Okay, please don't make me get a whiteboard and a marker and let's diagram this thing. Okay, let's not do that. But I think you can follow along. Yeah, everybody finally said amen. You're all excited about not doing homework, amen? Now, listen. So, to receive the instruction of. There's a list coming. Everybody okay with this list? Wisdom. Who wants to receive wisdom? Who thinks a Christian needs to receive wisdom? Yeah, exactly. Okay, we're going to receive wisdom. We're going to receive justice. Justice, that's a great thing to have in our lives. We need to receive that. Where does that come from? Well, that comes from instruction and perceiving the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom. Instruction, we need to be taught how to be wise. We need to be taught how to execute justice. And judgment. Okay, judgment. You say, oh yeah. Matthew chapter 7, Brother Combs, it says, judge not. Well, we're going to get to that later. Don't get ahead of yourself. We're supposed to use good judgment. And guess what? There's also poor judgment as well. We're going to talk about that tonight. So we see that these are things that we're supposed to receive the instruction of. Wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. In other words, Brother Combs, we need to be taught to be wise. We need to be taught about justice. We need to be taught about judgment. And we need to be taught equity. We need to receive the instruction of these things. He says, why? To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb in the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So what kind of a Christian ignores the characteristic of being equitable in their lives? A fool. A fool. You say, it's not important how we treat other people and how we view things. Yes, it is. Yes, it is important. And you know what? We need to make sure we receive the instruction of equity. Of equity. Of being in regard to the rights of persons. Distributing equal justice. Giving each his due. Assigning to one more or more what law or justice demands. Being just. Being impartial. This is being equitable. We need to be as God has been and is to people. Dealing with the people, judging with people, judging people with equity. Anybody have any arguments about our God being equitable? True equity comes from God. In Proverbs chapter 2, you're right there, aren't you? Look at verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive, there's that word again, my words, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Hey, does this sound like an easy process? Something that just kind of comes while you're sleeping in the middle of the night? No, you're going to have to work at this, folks. You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to go out and find it. You're going to have to seek for it. You're going to have to search for it. It says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment. Doggone it, it's there again. And equity, yea, every good path. You know, how many times have we read through those scriptures and just kind of ignored the word equity? Oh, yeah. Understanding. We need that, brother. Wisdom. Oh, God wants us to have knowledge. Oh, yes, yes. Those things. Equity? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. See, important characteristic. And true equity comes from God above. He's our example. He is our pattern to find the good path of being equitable. It's a good path. It's the way we should walk. It's keeping the paths of God, because he says he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. It comes from God. In Deuteronomy, Moses was trying to organize things for the children of Israel. And in chapter 1, remember the story how Moses was having a hard time sitting at the judgment seat dealing with all the matters of the children of Israel from morning to evening, and he had no time for anything else. Right? Remember his father-in-law came over and said, hey, Moses, why do you take all this upon yourself? You know, make sure you need to distribute this out and give it out to captains of this, 50s and hundreds and thousands and all these things. And he set up a good organization. Right? So then he says this in verse 16. He says, and I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with him. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man. For the judgment is God's. It's God's judgment. Not your judgment. Not your determination, but God's determination. It is God's judgment. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. And I commanded you at that time all the things which ye should do. You see, judgment doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. We're just supposed to exercise judgment. We're just supposed to exercise these things, not according to our plan, but according to his plan. Not according to our guidelines, but according to his guidelines. Not according to our moral standards, but according to his moral standards. Not according to our reasoning, but the reasoning of God. That's equitable. That's just. That's righteous. You see, what happens to a judge, why he gets all mixed up and going the wrong direction with his judgments and things, and someone who is trying to be equitable, to be impartial, to be just to his fellow man, is because we let us get in the way. That's what happens. Our moral compass, our thoughts, our reasoning, our rules, our decisions, our emotions, all these things get in the way of executing judgment properly. Because we know that true equity comes from the mind of God. It comes from the Word of God. It comes from God. In order to be equitable, we've got to match it up with this, not with our own human ideas. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." So how is it that we can develop this thing of equity in our lives? We have to be conformed to his image. We have to be pressed into that mold and forget about the mold that we were made in our fathers. In as it said there about being conformed to those things in the past, corruptible things by tradition of your fathers, but rather we have a different mold to fill. And it's the one of Jesus Christ, who we already determined got a 100% in the equitable department. That's okay to be formed after, isn't it? That's okay to be molded after, isn't it? Because true equity comes from God. He is our ultimate example. He is the one that shows us the way and the path we are to follow. And if you'll remember back to what we read in Proverbs, he's going to keep us on that path. He wants to keep us and preserve our way in being equitable. We need to learn from God's example. Now go back to our text in Acts chapter 10. If you marked your spot there, which you would have been wise to do. I almost wanted to cheer. Did you guys see me up here Sunday morning when Brother Leslie was preaching? And he started saying over in Croatia, they flipped through the Bible. I just wanted to stand up and say, hallelujah, glory to God. I'm not the only one. Did anybody else catch that Sunday morning? Okay, a few of you did. Wonderful. Okay, I was almost going to come out of my chair when he said that. I was excited. Because I just thought, praise God, somebody else does this too. But here we are back in our text. We see in verses 35 through 44... how he's talking about Jesus Christ and his testimony and all these things that is supposed to be done as far as giving the gospel and making sure that we preach the gospel to every creature and we do it equitably. And he gets to verse 45 and he says, "And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. And as many as came with Peter, because on that, the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." You see, these guys, they believed, they were believers, but yet they were astonished. Why were they astonished? Because false equity comes from mankind. We've already learned that true equity comes from God. "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." He told them that. He said, hey guys, these Gentiles can receive the gospel. They can be saved. Oh yeah, but Peter, they can be saved, but they certainly could receive the Holy Ghost of God. What gives? Why? Why not? Why were they astonished? Hey, they believed. They received the gift of the Holy Ghost. These Gentiles believed. Is God no respecter of persons? Why wouldn't they receive the Holy Ghost? Why would you be astonished about that? They're astonished because false equity comes from man. You see, there's something about our nature that keeps us from correctly identifying who deserves what. Huh? Yeah. You know what? If we got all that we deserved, it'd be hell for all of us. That's what it would be. You ever stop to try to see things from God's perspective? It's a good thing to do. And listen, unless we set aside our flesh, we're not naturally going to be equitable to people. We're not going to be just. We're not going to be impartial. We're not going to regard others. We're going to be skewed in our perspective. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, in verses 18 to 20, it says, judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, throughout thy tribes. And they shall judge the people with just judgment. Thou shalt not wrest, W-R-E-S-T, judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just thou shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, don't you think God knows us and understands us? And certainly, this would not sway you or I in our judgment, receiving a little gift. Huh? Oh, someone was nice to us. So what do? We cut them a little slack. Someone's not nice to us. Uh-oh. Hmm? Yeah. He said, hey, judges in the gates of your cities, don't do that, that thou mayest live. Bonus land, that's enough for me. I'm not taking a gift. I'm not going to be partial. I'm not going to prefer someone else over someone else because they were nice to me. Why? Because a gift blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. Why? Because false equity comes from mankind. See, well, we're just doing them a little favor. Or they're getting what they deserve. Watch out. Watch out. See, Brother Combs, how come you're so confident about this? Because I've been a little impartial at times in my life. I've been inequitable at times in my life. Why? I'm flesh, just like you are. That my nature is set that way, just like yours is. In 2 Chronicles chapter 19, it says, he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed what ye do. In other words, hey, folks, think about it. Christians, take heed what ye do. For ye judge not for man, but for the Lord. who is with you in judgment. Wherefore now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Then we look back at, remember back in Psalms and Proverbs, how the things that were associated with God not being a respecter of persons and God being equitable, and these things, did it say something about the fear of God in there? Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you, and take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Proverbs 28, verses 20 through 23, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. See how that works? Equity, false equity, comes from mankind. True equity comes from God. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring, in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressions, as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, and has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Do I have to explain any more than that? That's how we act, isn't it? Yeah, when Mr. Fatwallet comes through the back door, we want to make him happy so he doesn't leave. So we want the tithes and offerings of our church to grow. We don't want to offend him. But if a poor person or little bus kid comes in all snotty-nosed and dirty clothes, oh, well, they're not important to God. Boo. Boo. Why is that right? No, that's not right. No, that's crazy. But yet, as human beings, that's how we judge. False equity comes from man. True equity comes from God. So what do we need to do? Follow God's path to true equity. Follow God's path. Where did all my time go? Who stole my time? I better look in the mirror, I suppose, if I'm going to be equitable. Look at verse 47 of our text. These guys were astonished. They didn't think that the Gentiles should get the same thing that they did as Jews. Can any man forbid water, Peter said, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. You know what Peter did? Peter followed God's plan for equity. He said, hey, guys, I know you're astonished, but can anybody forbid these to be baptized like we were? Can anybody say anything against this? Because this is God's plan. You all want to go against God? No? Nobody? No votes? Okay. Then let's let them be baptized. We need to follow God's path to true equity. I do not have time. In your own time, you can go back and read 1 Kings chapter 3. You're probably already familiar quite a lot with it. But in 1 Kings chapter 3, this is where Solomon receives his wisdom. He prays, he has his vision, he talks to God. God gives him the gift to discern between good and bad. We've read that before. And he gave them the discernment to be wise and to judge equitably the people of God for God. Did you notice that Solomon wasn't doing this for his own benefit? He said, God, this is a great people. These are your people. I'm the king. I'm a little child. I don't know what I know, and I don't know what I don't know. I need your help. And would you give me understanding and an understanding heart to judge thy people that I may discern between good and bad? For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? He understood that this has got to be by God's design, not by my own design. Otherwise, I'm going to fail. I'm going to fall flat on my face and be a laughingstock. You know what? Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. Then came, man, right off the bat, first judgment, lickety-split. Here we go. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. Time out. He could have just thrown both of them out and said, get out of here. What in the world are you doing in the king's palace? In my judgment, both of you are sinners anyways. You don't belong here. Huh? Come on now. Let's be real. In our human nature, that's what we would want to say, right? Oh, no. They came here. And the one woman said, oh, my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day that after I was delivered, this woman was delivered also. And we were together, and there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight, and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept. And laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. When I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, nay, but the living son is my son, and the dead is thy son. You know the story, right? And he says, bring me a sword. I'm going to chop this kid in half. And the one lady said, go ahead. And the true mother said, no, give the son to her. Because I'd rather see him alive and with somebody else than laying in two pieces right in front of us here. He made the wise judgment. And he did it equitably. Because it was according to God's plan and God's design. And can I say, brothers and sisters in Christ, we've got to do the same. We can't trust our own judgment. We can't trust our own feelings. We can't trust our own emotions. We can't trust our own reasoning. We've got to rely on God and His Word to be equitable. I literally have a whole page of scriptures to read to you. But I can't. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. We have to do this according to God's design. We cannot do this according to our reasoning. That's going to bring false equity. True equity comes from God. I don't have time. You can go to Mark 7, you can go to Mark 6, and you can go to Galatians chapter 6, and Romans 16, and Matthew 18, and Galatians chapter 2. All these past scriptures, which we may do another time in another message. But can I tell you something? As Christians, we've got to set aside our flesh and learn to be equitable in the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is what's going to allow us to be equitable in our lives. And let me say even further, yielding to the Holy Spirit of God is what's going to allow us to be equitable in our lives as believers. We cannot do it in the flesh. We cannot do it of ourselves. We need God, the equitable God, the God that is equitable, to do it in us and through us in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Well, being equitable. True equity comes from God. False equity comes from man, and we need to follow God's path to true equity. Why is this important? So people can be saved. So all people, so whosoever will, may come. If we will learn equity.